Good evening. This morning we talked a little bit about some difficult, what can be some difficulties with understanding the Word of God, but in reality we found out that God is going to provide for us what we need to understand, and God is going to allow us to understand those things that He has written for us and those things by which we are to live our lives. And I didn't quite plan it this way, but it kind of works out because the text that we're going to be looking at is actually in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you'd like to go ahead and turn over there, that's where we will begin this evening. Excuse me. As we pointed out this morning, the Bible can often pose some difficulties. We can find texts that we run across and we just kind of scratch our heads at and we wonder, what on earth is this talking about? What is it? What are we supposed to learn from a text like this? And I think one of the reasons for that is, if you think about it, when we open a book of the Bible, specifically when we get into the epistles, but really any book of the Bible, it's as if we're going through someone's mail. And not just someone's mail, but someone's mail who has lived, 2,000 years ago. And we're trying to understand what culture was like and what know the things that they knew, because certainly they had facts and certain knowledge about things that we have no idea what was going on at this time. So it's as if we're going through someone else's mail. Although through the Holy Spirit, I think certainly the epistles are for our edification. They are although not originally written for us, there's certainly things that are for us and that we need to apply to our lives. Now, sometimes allusions are made in a letter, though, as I mentioned before, that we have no idea what it's talking about. And as an example of this, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Here Paul writes, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong.'" What I'd like to kind of talk to you a little bit about this evening is Paul's thorn in the flesh. And there's been a lot of discussion about what this thorn is. You know, how can we know what this thorn is? Many people have tried to pinpoint exactly what it is. Some people have said, well, perhaps Paul has a pain in the ear. Maybe there's some kind of infirmity like that. Maybe some have suggested that he struggles with fleshly lusts, and that's his thorn in the flesh. That's what is sent to torment him. Others have suggested that Paul stuttered. They have suggested that based on some of his other statements about, not coming to the Corinthians with eloquent speech. So they have suggested that perhaps Paul had a stutter. Some have suggested that maybe it's a seasonal illness, maybe a fever or some other sickness of that nature. Perhaps others still have suggested that it was people who were persecuting him. Certainly Paul had a lot of people who were persecuting him. And some have suggested that. Another suggestion that I think is kind of interesting is some have suggested that he had a problem with his eyes. He had poor eyesight. They cite his large letters at the end of the book of Galatians, how Paul said, "I wrote large letters to you." And they also cite the bright light that he saw on the road to Damascus as a possibility. But in the end, we don't really know what this thorn in the flesh was. We don't really know what this was that was tormenting Paul so much. But I do think that there are still some things that we can glean from this text. There are many things that we can learn based on Paul's discussion before and in this text. And so first what I want to do is I want to look a little bit at the purpose of the thorn. Why did Paul have to have this thorn? Whatever it was, why was it there? Why was it inflicting him? Well, Paul was a man who could boast of many things. Look back, if you're in 2 Corinthians, look back to the 11th chapter and begin reading with me in verse 22. He says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they the servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I am more so. and far more labors and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. And he goes on in that passage and describes all the different things that he's gone through. But if you think about it, Paul was in a great situation to boast. He could boast in many things. Certainly he had the ability to boast in his heritage. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a pure Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. He certainly could boast of his heritage. He could boast of his various accomplishments, the things that he did, the ways that he served Christ, all of the trouble that he went through. Those were all things that he could boast in. He could boast in a number, not only in those things, but in a number of visions that he received. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this is what just precedes this passage about the thorn in the flesh. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. He says, "Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in regard to my weakness. For I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this, so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me." Paul says, and I believe he's speaking here kind of in the third person. He says, there's this guy, he's talking about himself. There's this guy, it's me, who has received these great visions. He's seen these great things. He says, but I'm not going to boast in those things. Paul had every right to boast in the great visions he'd seen. Not only does he speak about the vision that he'd seen here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, but in Acts chapter 9, just before he was converted, just before he was saved, you remember he saw the great vision of Christ coming down in the great light. Paul had seen visions. In Acts chapter 22, as he is retelling the story of his conversion, God sent a special vision to protect Paul. Paul had seen visions, Acts chapter 16, Acts 18, Acts 23, Acts 27, all of these tell of visions that Paul had seen. Paul certainly had a lot that he could boast in. He says, I will go on to visions in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I will go on to the visions that I've seen. He says, I can boast in a lot. How wonderful it must have been to receive the visions that Paul had been. Those visions of protection, those visions of paradise, those visions of comfort. He certainly had the ability to boast. But why was this thorn necessary then? Being the man that he was, having the capability of boasting, the thorn kept Paul humble. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, down in verse 7. He says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. He says, I know I can boast in a lot of things. He said, I can boast in my heritage. I can boast in my accomplishments. I can boast in all the great works I've done for Christ. I can even boast in these wonderful visions, these revelations. But he says, for this reason, I was given a thorn in the flesh, so that I would be kept from exalting myself. Paul could have boasted, but he was given this thorn in the flesh to prevent him from exalting himself. Paul says that it was given to torment him, to buffet him or to beat him. This is similar to what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. When he said, I buffet my body daily, he says, I get myself ready for the fight. But in this case here, he describes something that is done by Satan. Again, the result is so that he would not have the opportunity to exalt himself. Therefore, he had this thorn in the flesh. And I think there's an important lesson we can learn in that, because we too have the responsibility to remain humble, no matter what it is that we can boast in. You know, I doubt that we can even come close to the boasting that Paul could have done. Paul was a man of great accomplishments. And I look at my life, I'm nowhere close to Paul. I can't boast like Paul can. But we must still maintain the humble attitude that we have, regardless of our situation in life, regardless of who we are or where we've been. Christians are called to live humble lives. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. Here Jesus tells a parable to demonstrate this. It begins in verse 9. He also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself: God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus taught a very powerful parable about how we need to remain humble. We need to be humble before God because we are just sinners. We are mere sinners in his presence. We have to remain humble before him. Turn with me to Peter's first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 5. Begin reading with me in verse 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I think we just need to think realistically. We all want to be praised. At one point in time or another, we all want to be lifted up. We want to be exalted. We can try to get that on our own. We can do things. We can boast in our own accomplishments. And we might receive the praise of a few people. Or we can humble ourselves and have God, the creator of the world, the creator of everything we see and don't see, we can have him exalt us. And that is the better of the two options. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you. We need to remain humble, just as Paul remained humble as he had this thorn that was bothering him. Secondly, I'd like to look a little bit at the reaction Paul had to this thorn. Not only did this thorn keep him humble, but if you'll turn back to 2 Corinthians, note with me how he reacted to the thorn. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 8 with me. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. But note verse 8. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. Paul wanted it gone. That was Paul's reaction to this thorn. Whatever it was that was bothering him, whether it was a physical ailment or whether it was the people that were around him persecuting him, he wanted it gone. But notice, his game plan was he was going to pray. That was the first thing he went to. That was the first thing that he thought of. And so he says, I implored the Lord three times, and the Lord replies in verse 9. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. So he prayed to the Lord. He asked the Lord to take it away. Three times he begged the Lord. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. It's not, he didn't necessarily get the answer he wanted, but he got the answer of the Lord. I think there's an interesting parallel to this in Matthew chapter 26, in the account of Jesus praying in the garden. Look over with me at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 39. Here Jesus is in the garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. And it says that he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Not as I will, but as you will. And he said to the disciples and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time to pray, saying, My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Again, he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. And then in verse 44, he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. So there's an interesting parallel here. Paul, when he was being inflicted with this thorn in the flesh, this thing that was bothering him, he prayed three times, begging the Lord to remove it. In the same way, the Lord prayed three times, begging the Lord to let this cup pass. And I think it's interesting that in verse 41, he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's exactly the answer that the Lord is going to end up giving to Paul. He says, you can boast in your weakness, because when you are weak, then you are strong. And so we see some connections there. But not only did each pray three times for the removal of the burden, but in the end, each received an answer from God. In Luke chapter 22, it's recorded that an angel came to Christ after he prayed and strengthened Christ. And in the same way, Paul received encouragement from the Lord that his grace is sufficient for him. And so I asked the question here on the PowerPoint slide, is prayer our first instinct? You know, we have various troubles that we face. We often find ourselves being inflicted with certain things. But do you pray about these things first? Is that your first instinct? Is that your go-to game plan, like Paul? Or do you seek the help of friends or family first? Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with seeking the help of friends and family. There's nothing wrong with seeking the help of the brethren. Certainly, that's what we're here for. We're here to encourage one another. But God expects us to pray to Him. He wants us to pray to Him and lay our burdens on Him. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, begin reading with me in verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So here, Jesus, another parable that he taught, the necessity of prayer. And not just prayer, but consistent prayer. Paul prayed three times before he got an answer from the Lord. Is that our instinct? Is that our first, our go-to plan? Do we pray when we're facing various trials? Again, perhaps it won't be the answer we want. In the same way that Paul didn't receive the answer that he may have desired. But God's ways are higher than our ways. And if we cast our burdens on God, certainly He can take care of us. And He can watch over us and give us the comfort that we need and we desire. Lastly, I'd like to just look real quick at the Lord's answer. We've noticed the reason that Paul had a thorn. He had a thorn to keep him from exalting himself. He needed to remain humble because certainly he could boast in many things. We've noticed his reaction to this thorn, how he prayed three times to have it removed. But I want to look closer at the Lord's answer to his prayer. Look over at 2 Corinthians again and look at verse 8 with me. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. First thing the Lord says is, my grace is sufficient for you. God would give Paul what he needed. God knows what we need. As I said earlier, God's ways are higher than our ways. And certainly Paul understood that. Even though this may not have been the answer that he wanted, that my grace is sufficient for you, God says, this is what you need right now. This is what you need in answer to your prayer. Paul certainly, I have no doubt that Paul would have wanted God to say, you're right, you don't need this thorn, and I'm just going to get rid of it for you. But no, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul was to rely on the grace of God during his hardships. I think that's a hard lesson for us to learn sometimes. That when we're suffering, when we're going through trials, when we have things inflicting us, whether they are of a physical nature or whether it's people in our lives that are persecuting us in some way or another, God's grace is sufficient for us. But the second thing he says, I think, is interesting. He says, for power is perfected in weakness. When we are at our weakest points in life, when we are at the very, you know, it seems like we can't get any lower, seems that we can't go down any further, God's power becomes most evident in our lives. When we have become so weak, it is then that God demonstrates the greatest power. And Paul wanted the thorns to be removed, but instead he got something better than that. He didn't get the thorn removed, but he saw the power of God in his life. Paul certainly desired things that he did not get, but God used it to show his power. And I think that's an important lesson for us as well. Power is perfected in weakness. We must understand that when we're being persecuted, when we're facing trials, it is then that we can see the power of God. But beyond God's answer, notice then Paul's reaction to God's answer. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, down at the end of verse 9. He says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says, I will rather boast about my weaknesses. And that's an interesting parallel, because notice Paul's come full circle. He started in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 saying, I can boast in my heritage. I can boast in the things that I've accomplished. I can boast in the visions I've seen. I've done some great things. But no, Paul says, I can boast in my weakness. That's where we must boast. And finally, he says, then I am well content with weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I think that puzzles us sometimes. It puzzles me. How could Paul be content with such troubling situations? Whatever it was that he was facing, it certainly must have been difficult. It must have been hard for him to face. He begged the Lord to let it go. But how could he be content? He recognized that in those times, the Lord gave him strength. The Lord would give him strength when he was struggling, when he was weak. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It taught him to rely on the Lord, to rely on the power of God. And I think this can be a hard concept to grasp. You mean I'm supposed to be content when I have troubles? Yes. You're supposed to be content when you are at your weakest point. I think we often have thorns in our flesh that cause us trouble, whether that's family relationships that are nagging or financial problems that are getting us down or whatever it is, whatever worldly problems we have. We all have these thorns. We may have work loading us down. It may be things of various natures. We may even get to the point when our friends and our family just turn away from us because we're trying to follow the Lord, because we're trying to do what He wants. Well, in our weakness, the Lord can demonstrate the fullness of His power. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, begin reading with me in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Paul tells the Romans, you need to exult in persecution. You need to, and that's not exalt, that you need to take joy, is what he's saying. You need to take joy in these persecutions, in these troubles that you're facing, because that is what produces hope. It is in those troubles, it is in those tribulations that you receive hope and you receive power from God. Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. When we're facing problems, when we're suffering, when we're going through hardships, it is in those moments that we have endurance. It is in those moments that we rely on God and that we learn to rely on Him for our problems. Paul, through the answer of God, recognized that he needed to rely on God's power, not on his own, that lest he boast in the works of men, but he needed to rely on God. And we may never be able to exactly pinpoint what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but I think there are lessons that we can learn from this text. We can learn the need to be humble, not to let the things that we can boast in allow us to be puffed up in our own right. We need to maintain a humble attitude. It is only then that the Lord will exalt us. And that is a far better outcome than exalting ourselves. We learn the power and the necessity of prayer through a text like this, that we need to pray and we need to pray consistently, and that we may not get the answer that we want, but we need to rely on the power of God, that through our weakness, we can see the power of God. And we can learn that it is through Him that we have endurance, and we can endure all things through Him. It doesn't matter how great you may be. It doesn't matter how great I am. It doesn't matter how rich or smart or pretty it is we are to look at. We all have thorns in the flesh. We all suffer. We all have problems that we go through. We must rid ourselves of our pride. We must pray to God and ask His assistance. Boast only in the fact that you have been made weak. Boast only in the fact that you have been humbled by your Lord. And then He will lift you up. Of all men to be counted worthy of glory and honor, I think we could agree that that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one of us, of mankind who has ever lived on this earth, who truly deserves glory, who can truly boast in anything. And yet He set the example. He humbled Himself in His weakness, rather what man perceives to be weakness. In His death, He was made strong in that He conquered death. He conquered death not just for Himself, but He conquered death for all mankind. Now He invites us to enjoy that rest with Him. Will you humble yourself before the Lord and allow the Lord to exalt you? If there's anything we can do for you this evening of that nature, if we can help you come to Christ, or if we can pray for you in any way to encourage you, please come at this time as we stand and as we sing this song of encouragement.